everybody, and welcome to the Brian Foltis Behavioral Finance Podcast. You know me, it's Brian Foltis again. Hope everyone's doing well. Thank you for tuning in. And today we are going to continue our series of getting personal, talking about personal finances and how our previous experiences shape our decision making for better and for worse. And today we're going to bring that into full circle as we're going to be talking about combining finances and getting married. Not just for the first time, but for the second time. So lots to talk about today, and hope this helps you as you're deciding on what to do with your finances as you start a family and move forward into different phases of your life. This is just what we've done, and everyone has their own stance on it. And so I just want you to see it from a holistic standpoint, and then also think about how that best fits into your life. So you're going to see here, though, that the way we have it set, it's not a binary thing. You should combine everything or you should keep everything separate. We're kind of using more of a balanced approach here to it. So anyway, thank you very much for tuning in. I am loving this new format of being audio only, as it makes life so much simpler. And when life is simpler, that creates capacity to pump out new ideas as they come up. So this is really nice. And then wouldn't you know it, YouTube, where I've been posting the videos, also have a new feature that just has me link my podcast through YouTube. Everybody wins. Anyway, going to be talking about marriage today. And what's funny about this is we're going to tell it from my standpoint. I guess it is my podcast after all. And then we get the final say from my wife, who will join me on the podcast, tell the story from her side and see her point of view, because it certainly is a different perspective. So again, we'll talk about it from my side, how we all started back. This was now 2.5 years ago, and I had gone through, my divorce was finalized and was finally ready to go and single for the first time pretty much ever since I was like 15 years old. And because I think I had a girlfriend in high school all the way through, and then broke up with her, and then met my first wife right after that, and then kind of moved on to a relationship after my first wife, and then had this time where I was finally going to be single, and kind of had myself in a decent place, so I thought, I did not, where I was going to start dating again, and pulled up what everyone's doing now, pulled up the first dating app and decided to go Bumble, and pulled up my, made a profile and started going in down this process and really thinking about, trying to build that profile was interesting, trying to set yourself up and you're, you know, 40 years old and trying to make yourself. And so what I really had this idea of, boy, I really wish I could provide a younger version of myself out here. But then I realized that I didn't have to be the best option when you're 40 years old. You'd basically have to be the least worst option to get any attention on these webs, on these dating sites. And so I was getting quite a bit of attention because I called myself the U.S. dollar, which is, you know, our reserve currency here in the world. And people use the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency, not because it's the greatest, most stable asset. It just happens to be the least worst of all of the currency options that are out there. So as the U.S. dollar, I was out there on the dating profiles, and a lot of people were from reaching out, and so it was exciting at one point, and then was basically exhausting very quickly. So Lo and behold, though, one of the first people to reach out and the first date I went out on was with Mandy. And we hit it off right away and was unbelievable. It was just an incredible chemistry and couldn't wait to see her again and couldn't wait to get to know her more. And so she and I, we just started hitting it off, right? And so in my mind, I'm going, wow, I suppose every date could be like this. This could be a lot of fun. All this chemistry and really hitting it off and all the different boxes checking off. I don't see why all the other dates couldn't be just like this. So I'm just in my own little world thinking this is great. And of course, Mandy has a different path, and she had been going on a number of bum dates and just really burnt out on it, and finally meets me as well and has this same chemistry, and she sees it from a different perspective that we're going to ask her about. And so we kind of went down this path and was unbelievable, but because of our convergence of previous experiences, we're really liking each other and falling for each other. And once again, I'm going, I just walked into this thing and what is happening here? How did I stumble into another unbelievable relationship? And so we kind of had a moment of, okay, this is really a thing, but we can't keep going down the path of seeing other people if we're going to really be serious. And so had to make the decision, all right, shutting down the whole Bumble operation and moving forward. And we really haven't looked back since. That was about 2 to 2 years and a half, I guess, ago. And so as we're talking about, we're dating, we're getting engaged, we got engaged fairly quickly, and we're dating, but now we're starting to bring in finances into the conversation. And she's realizing on the first date that I'm a finance professor, and we'll ask her about what her thoughts were about that. And she has her own background on finances, and we're talking through it and going, we're in different spots here with our finances, but there was an opportunity, I thought, to, and I had a very hard stance. I said that she had her car loan and her student loans, and I said I wouldn't marry her unless she had gotten rid of both of those. And it was a pretty hard stance. I caved in. She paid off her car, and fairly quickly, actually, and then knocked down about half of her student loans, and then was also contributing to her 401k and retirement and all these things. And so I could see her moving down this path and seeing it work in a way where she's going, oh, I really like opening my brokerage account or my retirement account, because now I'm seeing the numbers going up and I'm keep putting money in. So even when the market goes down, it still stays stable. And you can really see it starting to click on how the wealth accumulation can really be a fun experience. And at the same time, knocking down the debt and having that car paid off and really working on the student loans. So that's what we currently have. We're at about $30,000 for student loans. And I think, so this is now for me, I'm going, oh shit, I have debt now outside of the mortgage, but there are enough other savings and other investments that whenever we want, we can just lop that off and just pay it off and move on with our lives. And trying to plan and to budget and think about how we're going to move forward in the future. And this came at right at a point where I had my budget down. I finally knew the numbers after the divorce and was comfortable in that space. And as we mentioned a couple of episodes ago, was maxing out the 401k and saving about 25 to 30% extra on top of that off of my paycheck. And once you kick in a 10% match from my employer for 401k, things were looking good. And they still are. I'm just now recalibrating some of the new numbers with the budget. And So now this brings us into the combining finances or not. At the time when we met, obviously we were totally separate. We finally had gotten ourselves with our own accounts and our own finances. And now to bring in and to get married and to move together, it's time to combine. So what we ended up doing is, for a lot of the day-to-day monthly purchases, everything new coming in is now on a combined account. And the combined after-tax investments are also in a joint account now. So we've kept all of our individual, obviously, retirement accounts and whatever we've had more or less before that. And it doesn't mean that we can't shift it back and forth. It doesn't mean that it's not combined. It's not still ours. It just happens to be in our own names. And so that's kind of how we've decided. It's more or less a status quo bias. Just leave things as they are. More a little bit of procrastination in there. Why unnecessarily move money over where it doesn't necessarily need to? And at the same time, our day-to-day finances, our purchases, we move forward together with combined accounts. I also have my own credit card that is in my own name. And the nice part about that, in addition to earning the 1.5% cash back and paying it off every month, is during Christmas time, you know, if I don't want to see some of the where I'm buying stuff for, then she can, there's a layer of privacy, I suppose. But I've given her the password and username and everything, so whenever she wants to go in and check, she can always do that. And same thing with her credit card. I have her username and password, and we talk about it freely. So that's going to be another topic that we will address as well, how we talk about finances. So there's the account setups, which obviously are combined in some ways that are new, and then also with a little bit of independence on our own with what we've previously had before our marriage. And the budgeting now, this kind of transitions us into, we're still calibrating some of the numbers and what it looks like from her end, what I spend on my end, and how that hits our family budget now. And I'll give her a hard time about it, but there's some new categories that have emerged that did not necessarily hit my budget personally. And I'm realizing there's a lot of money that goes into her hair, and anything above the neck is, there's a lot of money going into that. So I'll give her a hard time when we talk about it, see if she talks about it. She's very unapologetic about it, but we're going to add a category for that. And we'll move forward. It's not the end of the world. The forum on which we talk about some of these things are come around more or less, it's not official, but we talk about finances and we have an unofficial meeting about once a month. And the way we normally do this is, it used to be, let's have a bottle of wine and let's talk about it. Now it's usually on a weekend morning when she realized she's feeding me breakfast, and that usually makes me quite happy. And I stop asking a lot of hard questions when I'm full and happy eating bacon and eggs. So we have our conversation as I'm updating our expenses and going in, and I'll preface it and I'll tell her that when I'm updating the expenses, I am not asking from an interrogative standpoint. I am asking from I don't know what this Amazon category is, so can you just let me know? And I'm not going to judge. And she realizes I don't judge as much when I'm happy and fed. So we're talking about our expenses and keeping those under control and just basically unemotionally going, oh man, we're a bit high. We've eaten out a ton here in the last couple of months. Let's try to throttle back and let's see if we can have some more home-cooked meals. And what other big expenses do we have coming up? Because we have a bunch of travel coming up. What are some big things that we need to talk about and think about just so we have on our radar moving forward? And I'll capture that. And usually, here's a little pro tip. When you are working with your spouse or partner on finances, there are no absolutes, so there's no 100%. But in my little world of meeting with people who are married, it has been 100% without fail. There will be one person who is on the nerd spectrum and the other person who is on the free spirit spectrum of organization and how we think about money. And what I've noticed is the more nerdy and the more organized somebody is, their partner is on the other side of that being even more free-spirited. And so, of course, the person who happens to identify themselves as the nerd should be the one kind of driving the expense tracking and showing the numbers and bringing in the other side to work together on it. And that's how we do it. So that's why I'm the one sitting at the computer going over the expenses, updating all the numbers, and she's the one who happens to be feeding me at that time to try to make me happy. And what we talk about, in addition to our expenses, like I already said, is trying to look at some big upcoming purchases. The rule that she and I have around big purchases is around $100. So anything over $100, if we're going to pay for it or we're looking to buy something, we're going to check in and just say, hey, by the way, what do you think about this? Is it a good idea? And let the other person at least have a say in, I don't think this is a good idea right now, or yeah, sure, go ahead. And typically the case is, it's not a problem, but it's just a checks and balances just to keep everybody on the same page. $100 just happens to be our number, but at least having that pre-established number is a good idea. When we are talking about investments and planning for the future, this is once again in our dynamic, this is driven by myself, where I'm a finance professor and I like this stuff. So I'm the one kind of updating Mandy on the numbers. I like to update every quarter our net worth. I see that number continue to go up. That's the idea. And have a little chart that I have on our Foltis Lifetime Savings Program. By the way, you can check that out on brianfoltis.com. If you look under Money Strong, I've got that listed there. And it's a free download right now, and I would love your feedback on that. That's what I've been using for years and have continued to improve it. I hope to make that a website or an app here in the future as this becomes bigger and bigger. But anyway, take a look at it. And that's what I use. And on that Wealth Builder tab of that spreadsheet is that graph that I manually put in every quarter and see that number rise. And updating her on that, having this conversation, and that's it. We're usually in and out in about 5 to 10 minutes and enough time to make some scrambled eggs and get that bacon sizzled. And that's it. We move forward, but we're at least that keeps us on the same page as we're trying to navigate our previous expenses, our current big expenses coming up, and then our future planning as well. And so as we're talking about the future plans, we are really into trying to figure out, if you haven't noticed already, go back 3 episodes, you know, finding our purpose and finding what we are really called to do here in this short time on Earth. And so one of the things that I had really developed is my own purpose and trying to really work on that and really teach how finances can either support you in that purpose or they can hinder you from doing your purpose. And so for me, I'm building my own. For her, she's working through her own life and trying to build her own purpose and really trying to figure out what she wants to do, because she has her degree in nursing. And man, those nurses, I can't even tell you. If she comes home and says she had a bad day, and I come home and said I have a bad day, there is no comparison of what my bad day can look like in my world of teaching finance to her bad day. And I've quickly understood that, and am very careful in how I address how things are going with her. And so I totally understand her feeling burnt out around her vocation and really trying to figure out what she's doing around that. She wants to stay or whatever her path is. And so she's developing hers. But then when you get married, we want to keep our own purpose, but then also have our own purpose together. And so part of our conversations around finances are we aligning ourselves with the purpose that we have for our own lives and our lives together, and seeing if we can, if there's anything we need to talk about or discuss. And quite recently there has been with Mandy and trying to figure out what she wants to do. I'll let her elaborate on that, but she, like I said, was feeling burnt out doing the travel nursing, which I totally get, and was looking at maybe doing like a corporate job in the medical field, which would be quite lucrative, but really there's not what she wanted to do. And also when we think about our own scheduling, I mean, I have so much flexibility and time with my teaching and job and what I'm doing, that if you're working a corporate job, I have all summer to travel. I have all these summer, spring breaks, fall breaks, semester breaks that we can get up and go and travel wherever we want, whenever we want. If she has 2 or 3 weeks of vacation, and that's out the door real quickly. And so we decided, hey, let's take a step back. Let's figure out what you want to do. And then in the meantime, you can do part-time nursing. Just do it whenever it works and whenever it fits in our schedule. So the numbers, when we look at our budget, are going to look a little more bleak. But if it brings it back, if we bring this back to what we've been talking about as aligning our finances with our purpose, we go, wait, let's take a little bit of a pay cut on this. And we have money, so why don't we just act like we do and live a balanced life till you can, and we can travel and do this. And then when you want to work, you can go work. That's the life that we have saved money to build. So anyway, this is how we've been talking about it and how we work through our finances. I would love to hear your perspective, what you think your struggles are. What are your challenges when we're talking about this? Now, I've come, when we call her Fancy Manders, and she has a lot of nice stuff when we first met. And so I'm like, God, this chick has a spending problem. This is never going to work. And so I was super hesitant. And I was like, here, this chick, she's so pretty and I love her. And like, oh my God, now she's got debt. It's like, no way, I can't, no. But then I've seen, as we were dating and engaged, you could see that change. And I finally realized, you know what? These nice things I like. I am such a cheapskate at heart. But then I realized that cheap shit breaks on you quickly. It doesn't look good. And so if you have the money, if you spend a little bit extra to buy something nice, you will appreciate it each time you see it. So I know that sounds so stupid and silly for a grown man to finally have this as an epiphany, but that was for me something that, holy cow, I love the house that she's decorated, the furnishings. And now, of course, I realized that those furnishings she's buying at salvage stores, and she's artistic enough to see these rooms and just build it out. So I'm going, this is wonderful. You've got the green light on whatever you want to decorate, because everything you've touched has been unbelievable. And so I've shifted my stance on buying nicer things. Now, we're not going out to the luxury store and buying a bunch of antique stuff on. There's no way. We're not doing that. It's just, like I said, it's moved the needle for me. Buying nicer stuff, but also at a good price, where it's on sale or some salvage store has it attractively priced. And it looks really nice, and it's nice quality. Anyway, I think that says my piece. That is everything that I wanted to say before we bring Fancy Manders on to the show here next time. So hope this helped you. Please let me know. I loved hearing from you. I love seeing the numbers are starting to tick up, which helps me feel less insane talking to myself here in my office, knowing that it's hopefully helping somebody and resonating with some people. So please let me know how I can serve you. Would love to hear from you. You can reach me at brianfoltis.com, Instagram, Facebook is now going to be up and running, and can't wait to hear from you. Otherwise, have a great day, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.